With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Job chapter 27. Job chapter 27, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, "As God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostril, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast, and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he that riseth up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he hath gained, when God taketh away his soul? Will God hear his cry when trouble cometh upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God. That which is with the Almighty I will not conceal. Behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are ye thus altogether vain? This is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as the dust, and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. He buildeth his house as a moth, and as a booth that the keeper maketh. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He openeth his eyes, and he is not. Terrors take hold on him as waters. A tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departeth as a storm hurleth him out of his place. For God shall cast upon him, and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. Men shall clap their hands at him, and shall hiss him out of his place." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, there are a couple of terms we need to discuss here, because they're meaning something different in Hebrew, and then as they're translated for us here. First of all, at the end of chapter 27, verse 23, when Job says, "Men shall clap their hands at him," okay, this is exactly the opposite of why we clap our hands. We have to remember that, you know, we go to a show or some kind of performance and we see somebody do something and yay, we clap our hands. That's not what Job's talking about here. He's talking, "Men shall clap their hands at him." What are you doing? It's that kind of clapping. It's a clapping in disapproval. They shall hiss at him. Now the hissing we understand. We've heard the boo hiss before. Okay, so the clapping and the hissing, they go together in this passage. They're not opposites of one another. Okay? So I wanted to clear that up before we began. Now, Job has some pretty stout words here for his three, air quotations here, friends. For his three friends. It's important for us to see what Job is saying here. They have made some very stout accusations against him. We've seen all of that. Here we are now in chapter 27. Remember that from here on out, we only have a couple of speakers, right? We have Job, we have Elihu, and then we have God. Those three. That's it for the rest of the book. So Job is going to wind up his argument. And Job will bring that to an end, and then Elihu will begin speaking. And Elihu will have some correction for Job and for the three friends. Okay? So far now, in chapter 27, Job is going to be accusing his three friends. Can I give you the gist of the chapter, and then we'll be able to see it perhaps more clearly? The gist of the chapter is this. I do not and will not agree with you in your accusations against me. I'm not going to plead guilty before you, although to do so would make it more pleasant for me before you. That's what Job is saying. If I take the part of a hypocrite here and agree with you, it would certainly be more pleasant for me. You'd stop haranguing me. You'd comfort me. You'd pat my back. You'd be more tender toward me than you have been thus far, because so far all you've done is accuse and harangue me. And all I would have to do would be to agree with you, and then I could enjoy those temporal comforts that we would have with one another as we communed together. But I cannot. I cannot, because what you have done is you have made false accusations against me. You've continued in those accusations, even though I have protested my innocence before you. If now I am to change my tune and say to you, okay, you're right, I repent, then that would be hypocrisy in me. It would be hypocrisy in me for two ways. The first is, it would not be true. I would be speaking lies. But the second is, then out of my mouth would be yea and nay, and that would be hypocritical as well. So I cannot. I will maintain my integrity. I will not remove mine integrity from me in verse 5. And so that's kind of the apex there. I will not remove my integrity. I will continue to speak the truth, even though it is costly for me in your presence. And notice he adds an oath to that in verse 2. As God liveth. So Job here is doubling down on being innocent of the charges that his friends have made against him. And he is speaking the truth. He's not ignorant of those charges. He is innocent of those charges. He has not committed those things that they have accused him of doing. It's not to say he's behaving himself in a perfect manner, in an upright manner in some areas, and he will be corrected for that later, first by Elihu and then by the Lord himself. But as for those accusations of his friends, he will not accede to them. He is going to maintain his integrity. His love of the truth prevents him from doing so. This is commendable in Job. Now, he may be a little strong in the manner of speaking. He may be a little too confrontational in the manner of speaking here, but let's remember this also. This is not chapter 1. We've had quite a little bit of water flow under the bridge here. And so the impatience that we sense in Job's speech is perhaps well-founded. And so then Job goes on to speak about, here's what happens to hypocrites, and this is why I'm not going to do that. Will God hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? And then Job says, now listen to me carefully, and I will teach you by the hand of God that which is with the Almighty I will not conceal. And so now he's going to answer the argument that they brought up earlier about the men that are afflicted like you, Job. Well, it's obvious that they're wicked sinners. It's obvious that they've done something wrong somewhere. That's the only reason God ever afflicts people. And so Job is going to go on in that answer that he's already given, but will reinforce here now, and that is that there are times when those who are rich, who God appears outwardly, overtly, to be blessing, and yet they die, and they are forgotten out of hand because of their wickedness. Job is saying, you can't reason like that. You can't know that for sure. And so that's how Job goes on in the second half of the chapter. And that's why we say at the end, men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. In other words, all of that memory of him that they had, oh, look, he must be an upright man. Look how the Lord is blessing him. Look at his cattle. Look at his home. Look at his servants. Look at his family. Look at all those things. He must be a blessed man. And then later it is found that he was a hypocrite. Men shall clap their hands at him. They shall hiss him out of his place. He will no longer retain that place in their memory. That's the point that Job makes. So it's a very straightforward chapter. Job first maintains his innocence of the charges. He may be a little over the top in so doing. We're going to hear that Elihu's anger was kindled against Job, and the Lord's was. Why? Do you remember why? Because he justified himself. Let's remember that. But he justified himself in phrases like this phrase here, as God liveth, who hath taken away my judgment, and the Almighty, who hath vexed my soul. Let's remember that this is a complaint against God, and in his complaint, Job justified himself, and that is where he is blameworthy. So we want to see where Job is blameworthy, where he is upright, where he speaks the truth to his friends, and where Job still has some blinders on that will be removed by the time we get to the end of the book. All right, thus ends the reading then of Job chapter 27.